Yehu l'ratzon emarei fi b'giyoni b'lefanecha Adonai tzuri v'goali. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of my heart be acceptable before you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Shalom all and welcome, Erev Tov, Buenas Noches, Bienvenidos everybody to our Kosher Torah classes in Torah Takabalah. I am of course your host Ariel Bart Sadok of the Kosher Torah School. You find me online at koshertorah.com. We are now going to begin a series in one of today's, I would have to say, greatest Kabbalistic primers that is available. Yes, this is actually a primer. A primer means beginner's book. This is a book that was written, maybe a little over a century ago, century and a couple of decades, by the great Baghdadi Kabbalist, who is not barking at us from behind, those are my little pups, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Al-Chacham, known to us by his very famous halachic law code, the Ben Ish Chai. Rabbi Chaim, otherwise again, the Ben Ish Chai, is one of the leading Sephardic sages of the last century or so. He was a master of both halacha and, of course, Kabbalah, and was one of those who was very instrumental of bringing together Kabbalistic teachings into halachic practice. So when one reads his halachic codes, whether it be the Ben Ish Chai or Od Yosef Chai or other things similar, you will find that Rabbi Chaim integrated Kabbalistic practices as authoritative halacha. He went in this direction. After him, Rabbi Yaakov Sofer of Yerushalayim, in his commentary to the first and second sections of Code of Jewish Law, it was called the Kaf HaChaim, also ordained and outlined Jewish law in the form of its Kabbalistic practices. Do you hear that? That sounds like little cats. Those are the dogs. If you all remember here, we had little pups here a few months back, and they're in here doing what pups do, being very playful and, of course, very annoying. But what's life without annoyances? Get used to it. Remember what I've always taught you. I don't believe that there is something called distractions. That's all part of life. But getting back to our part of life, and where I learned that from is actually right out of the Kabbalah, we're going to be learning. So everything fits in like a hand in glove. But now getting back to Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the Kaf HaChaim who came after him. This was a genre of Sephardic teachings which integrated and married Kabbalah with Halakha. Up until around the 1950s, when then the great light of Ovadia Yosef blossomed on the scene, wherein which he sought to dismantle and unravel all of the Kabbalistic applications to halacha. He spoke very, very aggressively against the Ben Ish Chai, so aggressively that many of Rabbi Ovadia's contemporaries, the sages of Baghdad and Iraq, wanted to actually excommunicate him, put him in harem to punish him for his very strong, outspoken condemnation of many of the teachings of Rabbi Yosef Chaim. And one of the great Kabbalists of the day came to his defense and spoke on his behalf and swayed everybody to be patient with Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. And this great Chacham was Ephraim Cohen. That's right, Ephraim Cohen. He was the head of the old Mikubalim in Yerushalayim. And he pretty much single-handedly saved Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, who of course became the leading Sephardic halachic authority of the 20th century, in early 21st. But for those who know anything about Jewish law, you'll know Ovadia Yosef was not a Kabbalist. He did not understand the Kabbalah and was not blessed with success in learnings in those areas. And I know that personally. But it is interesting that Rabbi Ephraim Cohen's son, Shalom, also became a great contemporary rabbi. And he became the chief rabbi, the Rosh Yeshiva of Parat Yosef Ir Atika, my old yeshiva. And he is now the notorious outspoken leader of the Shas party taking over after Obadiah Yosef. So that's a little bit of Sephardic history. Rabbi Yosef Chaim's teachings and path have certainly not fallen by the wayside. They are an alternative to the teachings of Obadiah Yosef, but they are still warmly embraced now, probably more than ever, not only by Sephardim, but by many Ashkenazim as well. Now, his halakha, surprisingly, is a combination of both Ashkenazi and Sephardi sources of law, and that is really what Rav Ovadia Yosef mostly focused on, to get back to the Sephardic origins and to weed out that which did not belong in Sephardic circles. But in Kabbalah, Rabbi Yosef Chaim stands out like a shining star. And to this very day in Sephardic circles, when one goes to study what is the Torah of the Arizal, which is the primary Kabbalah taught in most places today, one of the popular books that is taught first is this, Dat Utfuna, the book of knowledge and intelligence, if we would interpret Tevuna in such a way. This book was actually written by Rabbi Yosef Chaim in response to someone, I believe, in Europe who wanted to learn Kabbalah. And this is what he wrote for them. This is a very involved text. This is, in my opinion, not really a beginner's text at all. It's a very involved book of 57 very involved chapters. The three introductions to this book are considered important for understanding the foundations and values of Kabbalah in Torah learning. If we were to have gotten into that section, it would take up our entire time, which we don't have. The book, like many of the other Kitvei Ha'ari, you're going to have to take them out if they're going to be noisy like that. The book, like many of the other Kitvei Ha'ari, begins with actually rather difficult material, speaking about very involved issues, which is not really conducive to introductory learning. So for those who have actually studied the Etz Chaim, you might be familiar with the original chapters of like Adam Kadmon and the like. Not a big problem, but when you get into deeper learning like Mate Velo Mate, for those who have actually wrapped their heads around it and get it, you recognize that's not really something that's very easy for people to get. There is what we call in the Etz Chaim the Shar HaKlalim, the gate of the general rules. That's usually printed at the beginning of the text. And I remember the first time that I opened up the Etz Chaim and it started to read it, I looked at it and said, "What? I didn't understand even what I was reading." And my Rebbe Meir Levi, Alav Shalom, would tell me, "No, even though it's at the beginning of the book, it should be the last thing. It's the most deep." So, in order to give you full access to authentic, original, legitimate, Kabbalistic teachings, not from the weirdo cults, not from the fringe, but from the real authoritative source, we're going to learn the Dat Utfuna. And I've chosen to skip over the initial original chapters which deal with issues which might be too difficult because I don't want people to be intimidated, scared off, and the like. I want you to recognize the beauty, the value, and the relevance of this material. We are going to begin our studies in chapter 19. Chapter 19 deals with some pretty decent, important issues, which we will discuss. Many of these, if you've taken previous courses with us, like our basic concepts and terminology courses, if you've read some of my other material or taken some of these other courses here at the Kosher Torah School, you should recognize many of these concepts. Some of them are going to come right out of the Sha'arei Kiddusha, which we have studied and is available recorded online. Got to keep my whistle wet here as I speak and chat. But now, with no further ado, let's go into our material. Rabbi Chaim, the Ben Ish Chai. We always refer to Rabbi Chaim as the Ben Ish Chai. So that's what we're going to do. It's very common in Jewish sources to refer to a rabbi by the name of their books that they have written. So we could refer to Rabbi Yosef Chaim as the Baal Ben Ish Chai, the author of the Ben Ish Chai. So we just call him the Ben Ish Chai for short. All right? This is how we refer to most things. If you're talking about Rabbi Yaakov Sofer, we call him the Kafa Chaim. If we're referring to Rabbi Koenig, we refer to him as the Chafetz Chaim or the Mishnah Brura or whatever. A very, very common traditional thing. Okay? We refer to Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Lubavitch as the Baal HaTanya, etc. So that's a traditional, classical way. So we will always refer to the Ben Ish Chai as our author. Chapter 19 begins with a discussion about the nature of the worlds of Abiya, how they are divided into the name of Havaya, and let's dive right in. Ketav Rabbeinu Marachu Zala B'Sha'arei Kiddusha Helek Gimel. Mind you, most of what Rabbi the Ben Ish Chai writes in this book are all quotations from all of the Kitvei Ha'ari. It's actually very rare where you'll have his own words. Most of everything in here are quotations, compendiums of the Kitvei Ha'ari. Again, this is why this is such a great book, because it takes everything and brings it all together. So, in the beginning of chapter 19, he's going to quote Rabbeinu Marachu. Marachu, of course, is Moreno Chaim Vital. And he's going to quote him from his book, the Sha'arei Kiddusha, Helek Gimel, section 3, Vizei Lishano. And these then are the words of Rabbi Chaim Vital. Hine, Hama'atzil Ha'elyon, Asher Hitzil Kol Ha'olamot, Nikra Ein Sof. Ve'ein bo shum tumuna, lo b'shem ve'lo ba'ot, ve'apilu b'kotze otiyot klal. Av lachen apilu ha'hihur bo asur bo. Translating. The supernal emanator who emanated all the worlds is called the without end. Ein sof, without end. I translate that, I interpret that, if you will. I call it the great nothing, because we always speak of creation in the words of our sages as yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. The word ain actually means nothing. Somebody said here a black hole. No, a black hole is the opposite of something, but it's not the nothing. You see, here is an interesting concept. Somebody asked a great question. How can God be nothing? That is the question. From our point of view, in the world of something, yesh, God is nothing, ain. Does that make sense? No. And it can't make sense. That's exactly the point that Rabbi Chaim here is referring to. When we're talking about the supernal emanator, who we call the Ein Sof, right? He says it has no image, no name, not even a letter, not even a part of a letter can describe it. Even to think about it is forbidden. Why? Because you can't. anything and everything that you want to say about the Ein Sof isn't true. That's why I say it's nothing. What can you call it that it is? Because it is not and is. It is and isn't. I wrote an entire essay on this over 20 years ago called The Order of Spiritual Evolution. It's in some of my works somewhere. If I haven't published it lately, I'll make sure that I get it out there. I tried to deal with this issue in poetic form. This is not a big deal. This is not a philosophical concept that you really have to try to wrap your head around. What the ultimate meaning is very simple. God, in God's initial original state, God unto God, if you will, is something so utterly different from anything that we can understand, that we could ever know, that there's just nothing that we can say about it. Nothing. This is not a revelation or a concept which is unique to the Kabbalah. You will find this in Maimonides. This is something which is a given, what we'll call in Hebrew a stam. God's ultimate reality is, that's a dramatic blank, because there's no words, no nothing that can ever describe it. That's why we just call it the Ein, the nothing. So am I saying that God is nothing? From our point of view, God is something unto God. But what that is, who knows? Nothing can be said about it. Nothing can be taught about it. Now notice what he states here. Afilu hahirhur asurbo. Even to think about the Ein Sof is forbidden. Now here is an interesting point. That is the teaching of Rabbi Chaim Vital. You have other Kabbalistic philosophers who have disagreed with Rabbi Chaim on this and seek to talk about the Ein Sof. They will speak about the Ein Sof and differentiate in what they'll call the light of the Ein Sof and the Kav of the Ein Sof. All of these areas you will find discussed in certain Kabbalistically based literature. But Rabbi Chaim Vital states that these areas, and therefore that literature, is forbidden. And therefore, in the Sephardic circles who are faithful to the teachings of Chaim Vital, those teachings and those authors' works are not learned. Are they bad? Are they wrong? Are they incorrect? No, they're just different opinions, different schools, different ideas. Whatever field you are in, whether it be in whatever, you know there are different ways to do things. There are different ideas, different beliefs, and it's the same thing even with the schools of Kabbalah. I believe the greatest mistake anyone can make is to read what it says in a book and take that at face value like that is the absolute truth of reality. Because you will find that the other book has a very different view of the absolute view of reality. And you can't have two absolute views of reality, because when you do, those are called subjective views. Those are what we call deot in Hebrew, opinions. That's exactly what we have. Different ideas, different beliefs, different views. So let's deal and accept with it as it is. We are learning now the ideas and views of Chaim Vital. Would you please get them out of here? Thank you. We're having a dog fight. World War I style. I should name the dog Snoopy. Put him on the little doghouse. Let him fight the Red Baron. That's what it sounds like over here. But anyway, moving right along. The He'etzil Chamisha Olamot. The Supernal Emanator emanated what we call five worlds. Zo neshama lezo v'ze lezeh. One is like the soul to the next, and the other is the soul to the next. Okay? What is a world? What? Yeah, he's fine. He's quiet. Crypto is by my feet here. He's quiet. He's a good boy. What is a world? Now, this is actually a disagreement amongst the opinions of the Kabbalists. I have this disagreement often with my own peers. Many people want to interpret the worlds as being actual, if you will, objective locations somewhere in outer space, in the outside world. I follow a different opinion, which is appropriate and eloquently described by the Baal Shem Tov, and Sefer Baal Shem Tov, Parshat Vet Hanan, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I have long taught, and I am convinced that the worlds of which we speak, the worlds with which we deal, we're not dealing with outer space or outer reality, but inner reality. And the olamot, the worlds of which we speak, and yes, there are actual physical dimensions out there of different places, and we'll get to them. Oh, we'll be discussing them. But that's not this. The worlds that we speak of here, which we're going to describe in a moment, are called Atzilut, Biri'ah, Yitzirah, and Asiyah. As I've described in numerous works, these are the worlds of what we can call the Sefirot of Chokhmah and Bina and Tiferet and Malchut. The domains of what we can call intuition and intellect and emotion and form. And in other words, all of these olamot are what we can call levels and domains of consciousness. And I believe that that is the best and most accurate way to understand that. Because God, ultimately, is what we can call the universal mind. If you ever wanted anything to be able to describe God, well, if you want to be simplistic, I guess you could go to Rome. You could look up on the Sistine Chapel and you can see God's painting up there, right? You know what God looks like. Little old guy with the white beard, you know, the real frown on his face and the like. Yeah, okay. You know, obviously, that I'm being facetious. We know as a foundation that Maimonides states, God has no form, no semblance of form. We're not going to discuss that with Maimonides right now, but just let's accept that for our foundation. God is the universal mind. The name Yudke Vavke, as we know, comes from the root of the Hebrew verb to be, hove. You put a yod in front of a base root in Hebrew, and you take it from the passive to the active tense. That's the prefix. So therefore, God's name would be active existence, consciousness, reality. That's what God's name actually means. And consciousness, reality, evolves. Just like our physical bodies grow in the wombs of our mothers, so too consciousness evolves from a rudimentary form to an awakened form to an enlightened form. So these are actually the worlds. Somebody in text here is just asking a very good question. Why do we have so many different terms for these worlds? The answer is because we have many different levels and realms of consciousness. Just like we have 10 sefirot. And exactly what a sefirah is, we'll discuss that as we go along as well. We are dealing here with the age-old dilemma. If God is the great nothing, and therefore creates the universe, which is the great something, using our Hebrew terms, yesh me'ayin. Well, you have ayin, nothing, and you have yesh, something. Well, aren't they like opposites from one another? How the heck can you then connect opposites? You obviously have to have some kind of stream which goes from point A to point B, transforming and translating along the way. So something which is inside at the beginning is the outside at the end, and what's on the outside at the end comes to the inside at the beginning. Flip-flop. These are the levels which we call emanation. And the Hebrew word for emanation, of course, is la'atzil. So therefore, this explains why we have different worlds, sephirot, and everything associated with them. Each world is one on top of the other, categorically, and within one another. Not only categorically, but realistically. So if we are at one world and we wish to go to the next, we don't go up, we go in, or if you will, even down. And apply this psychologically. If you are at one level of consciousness and you want to go to a deeper level of consciousness, you go down into the unconscious or to the subconscious, as the case may be. One within the other, one a soul within the other. Let's continue with our learning. Vehine, Adam Kadmon. Now, Adam Kadmon, which is referenced in the Tikkunim, and the language of our Gaonim is called the Tzach Tzachot, the sparks. All right. Ha'ulam Hasheni is Atzilut. Hashlishi, the third, is Biriyah. The fourth is called Yitzirah. The fifth is called Asiyah. Now, these are the five worlds. Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Biriyah, Yitzirah, Asiyah. Rav continues. The Elu ha'arba olamot nikraim havaya echat. These four worlds of Atzilut, Biriyah, Yitzirah, and Asiyah are called one Yudke Vavke. When we refer to the name Yudke Vavke, we refer to it by a term. We rearrange the letters from Yudke Vavke to He Vav, right? Ha Va Ya, Yud He. And therefore we refer to the name as Shem Havaya. Because as it is known in Torah law, it is prohibited to recite the name of Hashem, Yudke Vavke. That's why we say K instead of He. And therefore, to refer to the name Yudke Vavke with four vowels is Havaya. It's a shortened and easier way to say it. All four of the worlds are said to be one complete name of Havaya. Now, what on earth are we talking about? God is God. Well, how is it a name? The name Yudke Vavke is both objective to speak of all of creation and subjective to represent the pattern of creation, which is found in everything. So Yudke Vavke is a symbolic reference, or if you will, a metaphor for like DNA, spiritual DNA. And the fact that our DNA is actually made up of four chemicals. I don't know, maybe they do correspond in that way. It's an interesting coincidence that the worlds are four in number and the chemicals that make up DNA are four in number. Go figure. But getting back to this. So when we say here they are Shem Echad Havaya, meaning that they are represented by the archetype, the image, the symbol, the meaning of one name of Havaya. Continuing, the letter Yod, for those who are familiar with the letter Yod, right, it has at the top like a little tag, and that's called its kotz. The little tag or the top of the letter Yod, it's not a full letter. It's just part of a letter. That little itsy-bitsy part of the letter corresponds to the fifth element, the fifth world called Adam Kadmon. Adam Kadmon is better known to us in the Sefirot language as the Keter. But for those of you who know Hebrew, you remember the word Keter means a crown. And a crown is what you wear on top of your head. It's not part of you. It's on top of you. So therefore, the element and aspect called Keter, it's called will, it's called the seed, all right? It's above. It's the spark above. And being that it is above consciousness, and therefore can never become conscious, it's not included within the four letters, because each letter is a form. A form is a construct. The Keter, Adam Kadmon, is almost like a mini Ein Sof within creation. It is so abstract. While it does have some semblance of a form, the jot of the coats of the yod, it is still not a fully formed letter, symbolically speaking. And therefore, it's not included in the general category of the enumerations of the worlds, or if you will, levels of consciousness. It's considered above it. Moving right along. The letter yud of the name Yudke Vavke corresponds to the world of Atzilut. The first letter, He, corresponds to the world called Beriah. The letter Vav, to Yetzirah. The final letter, He, to Asiyah. Ulefi She'ak, and therefore because Adam Kadmon, Lerov He'elamo, right, because he is so concealed, Ein lo tumunat ot, as we said, it does not even have a full letter to represent it, to give it a form or semblance. It just has this little spark, this little kotz of the yod. Ki ein sof afilu tumat kotz ein lo. And the ein sof, we said, doesn't even have that much. Belachen, therefore, ein anachnu maskirim ata ela arba olamot abia. Whenever we're referring to the worlds, we only refer to four. Atzilut, Biriyah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. We take the first letter of each of the four worlds, Aleph, Bet, Yud, Ayin, and we refer to them together as Abiyah. Ki hem otiot gmurot, we said that they are complete and full letters. The four of them together are called a solid or a complete Yudke Vavke. Now I have a question here in text. Let's answer. Now, let me read it to you. It says, before the Second Temple, we had different letters that did not look like the Ketav Ashurit of today. That's true. In First Temple times, we had what's called Paleo Hebrew. And there is a major discussion in the Gemara and Tractate Sanhedrin. What was the original letter forms that came down with the Torah? Historically speaking, and according to the opinion of the Tanakhama in the Gemara there, of course, it would have been Paleo-Hebrew. But the later Kabbalists look at the modern-day Assyrian script as having so much significance, so much importance, that they proclaim, rather unhistorically, but whatever, that this Ketav Ashurit, the Assyrian script, is the original script of the Torah, that this is the most authoritative and authentic of the forms of the letters, and that is it. End of discussion for those of this school of thought. So therefore, even though historically we have older forms, the later Kabbalists know nothing of those older forms, don't care about those older forms, don't want to know those older forms, etc. The older forms of Paleo-Hebrew are still sometimes used, but usually by the more practical schools of Kabbalah as opposed to the theoretical. Another learning for another time. Let's move on. Od nahalaku elu ha'arba l'teisha madrigot. These four worlds are also divided to nine different levels. And of course, the nine levels are going to be the nine sefirot. But wait a second. I thought we had 10 sefirot. Why do the four worlds correspond to only nine? You should already know the answer. The 10th sefirah, like we said, is Keter. And Keter is that jot of the yod. And therefore, we don't count it. It's like the crown on top of the head. So therefore, four worlds get divided into the nine sephirot. And they are Chochma and Bina, the six Quetzalvot of the Teferet. These are the, if you will, like the spokes that come out from Teferet. Hesed and Gevura are above Teferet. Netzach, Hod, Yesod. All of these are considered to revolve around the Teferet at its center. And then, of course, Malchut. Ki Eloha Araba Yesodot. Also, the four foundations. Nikraim Araba Yesodot Elyonim. We refer to as the four supernal foundations. Shehema Araba Olamot Abiya, which again we say are the four worlds. You all know the four foundations. We'll discuss them, of course, later. Those are the foundational elements. Fire, air, water, earth, also referred to as arma. These foundational forces do correspond to their physical material forms, plasmic energy, gas, liquid and solid states. But the four elements of fire, air, water, and earth are also said to have a more supernal or ethereal or energetic source, which is, of course, the original form of the physical. Again, these concepts are ancient. They are not unique to Kabbalah. You will find these going way back into Greek philosophy as well. So these are the foundations. So these nine sephirot are divided into the four worlds. Etc. Omnam, however, we said that the coats of the Yud, that little jot on top of the Yud, which we said is Adam Kadmon, that's the fifth world, it's above them all, and Bo Levado Shoresh Kola Arba Yesodot, that is the source of all the four worlds below. Adam Kadmon, the Keter, is like the seed from which everything comes forth. Hello? My, I'm getting some feedback here, and I don't know where that's coming from. Oh, now it's gone. That was really weird. Did you guys hear that? All right, I was sitting here, and I'm talking. You did hear that, so it's on the recording. It's gone now, yeah. I was saying the word seed, and I hear this. All right, spaceship transmission. Yeah, Israel, I've never heard like feedback coming back from me. So I don't know what that was. I guess we were bouncing off of the Keter. So we're getting too deep into the Kabbalah here. My computer is getting Kabbalistic on us. How weird. Whatever. Let's move on. Okay. So, as we were saying, this little coats of the Yud, we said, corresponds again to the Adam Kadmon, the fifth of the four of the five worlds, which he says above them all. It's the source, it's the that's me, seed of all the worlds. And thus we find, Ki le'olam, lo yesh yoter ma'arba yesetot bilvad. When we're going to be enumerating, we speak of only the four worlds, corresponding to the four letters, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, corresponding to the four elements, etc., and so on. We take the whole pattern, we squeeze it down into four. Klal ha'ole, the rule that comes from this is this. Ki ha'ein sof, eino nichlal b'shum hashbon klal. The ein sof itself isn't included within any enumeration or accounting at all. V'harkach ha'olamot ha'hatchala, and then afterwards we have the worlds, which are, as we say, initially we speak about them in general. Vehem shem echad, and they are together one single name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Havaya. V'harkach nihalak la'arba yesedot, and then this is divided into the four foundations, Zulat ha'shoresh shelhem, with the exception of, or leaving out, the source of them, which we said is the Adam Kadmon, which we said is that little jot of the letter Yud, which we said is the 10th Sephirah, which is above them all, and of course that is Keter. I'm still hearing some strange feedback. feedback here on the computer. That's really weird. I wonder why. V'har kach, elu ha'arba yesodot nahalku le'esa sfirot keniskar. And then all of a sudden, after the four foundations, we break them down again into the ten sefirot. Hine, kol ze nichalalim b'shne halukot. All of this is then included within, if you will, two different divisions. V'hem hama'atzil v'hane'atzelim kulam. We have the emanator, the creator, and hama'atzelim kulam, creation. That's pretty much how we're going to divide existence. Creator, creation. This is what it says in the famous Midrash, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Ad shelo nivra olam, ritzono lomar olam hazeh, prior to the creation of the world, meaning our physical world here, hayohu, Ushmo Ehad. God and his name are one. That's a very important and interesting point. Ki ha'ein sof ha'nikrahu. The ein sof is called him. Va'ne'etzalim ha'kololim b'shamo. And all of the emanated existence, which is called by his name, Havaya, single Havaya, all of this together, alright, ki haita ashal heaven, excuse me, all of them are considered God's name. And we say, ki haita ashal heaven gnuza begahelet. We make the relationship of the flame being concealed within the coal. Now, this is a point I've explained in other places. Let's review it here, what he's referring to. For those of you who are practitioners of Torah observance, you are familiar that when we recite our daily Amidah in the Hazara, whenever we recite the name of God, Baruch Atah Hashem, we always respond, Baruchu Ubaruch Shamo. Blessed be He, blessed be His name. Why do we say that? According to Rav Chaim Vital, when we say, blessed be He, we are referencing Adam Kadmon. And then when we refer to Ubaruch Shamo, blessed be his name, we're referring to Havaya, which is the form of materialization which came forth from the Ein Sof. Or we are referring to God concealed and God revealed. Because this is the great and profound lesson. Anything and everything that we know about God, the highest level of which is what we call his name, Havaya. Havaya is God's name. It's not God's essence. God's essence is concealed. God's essence is Ain. God's essence is unknown. We only know of God what God has chosen to reveal. And what God has revealed is his name, Havaya, Yudke Vavke, Hashem. Hashem, as we said, is made up of the five worlds, Jot of the Yud being the Keter. The Keter is also referred to as Adam Kadmon. That's called the seed, from which all the lower worlds come forth, those lower worlds being Atzilut, Beriah, Yetzirah, Asiyah, corresponding again to the letters Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. That is a very profound and deep secret there, and part of Kabbalistic Kavanot, or if you will, intentions and focus in prayer. Let's move on. Baruch Hashem, we still have time. Hine. Nitba'er ki kol ha'olamot nichalalim b'shem havaya ha'nehaleket la'arav yesodot u'le'esa svirot. We've just described how all the worlds are included within the name Yudke Vavke, Havaya, and that's divided into the four foundations and into the ten sefirot. V'komol ken kol olam mehem nitparet al derech zeh. We must know that each and every world is a subjective expression of this collective pattern. So just as the four worlds themselves form the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, each world is its own subjective Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Each world, therefore, being divided down into four subjective foundations unique to that world, and broken down again into 10 sefirot unique to that world. And therefore, we have the divisions, the general pattern, and the subjective patterns. Ketzad, for example, Hine, Olama Atzilut, the world of Atzilut, Shehu Ot Yod Hanikra Hochma. We say that the letter Yod is that first la realm. Remember, we said that is the world of Atzilut. This corresponds to the Sefirat Hochma in each and every world. And it is divided into these specific aspects. V'yesh ba havaya achad shlema nehaleket la'arba yesodot. And it has its own Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is complete, which is divided itself into four foundations and ten complete sefirot. Al-derech ha-niskar bechlalut kol olamot mamash. In accordance to how all the worlds are in general, that is how they are in specific. So he gives the example here of the first world Atzilut. The first world Atzilut corresponds to the letter Yod of God's name. It corresponds to the general Sefirah Chochma of the ten Sefirot. And the general world Atzilut, again, like the general world Beria, like the general world Yetzirah, like the general world Asiya, has its own sub-pattern which corresponds to and reflects the greater pattern. So each world has its own four levels. Each world has its own ten sefirot. Each world has its own havaya. Ve'al derech zehu bekol olam machshava olamot. Excuse me, mechamisha olamot. That's how it is with all the different worlds. Ve'al derech zeh od holech unitpareta inyan betachlita pratut. And this, he says, it goes on like this until we can, you know, divide this and into greater detail. Achinimsa, until thus we find ki afilu bezeho olam, even in our world here, hash olam hashefel, this physical world, in lecha bria kala, you don't have the smallest of things in creation. She'ein bo klalot arba'a otiot, everything has within it the four letters of Havaya and ten sefirot. Did you hear that? Let me reread that to you. Okay? Ein lecha bri'a kala she'ein ba klalot arba otiot Havaya ve'klalot es sefirot. Everything in creation is made in this pattern. Everything in creation has within it its own subjective four worlds. Everything in creation has within it its own subjective havaya. Ve'kol zeh lohorot, and all of this to teach us ki hakol nivra mikoach ma'atzilit barach ve'in zulato, that everything is created by the power of the great supernal emanator. All right, blessed be He, and there is none other. Continuing, od hakdama acheret. There is another introduction we have to discuss. Vehu vehi, and this is it. Ki kol elo habechinot v'hamadrigot merum adam kadmon ad tohom shebolam shafal. All right. Whenever we are discussing all these different realms, whether we're talking about the highest realm of Adam kadmon, until we go all the way down to this physical lowest world of us. Hem zo lamala mezo v'zo mipilifni mezo. We say one is above the other, one's within the other. Ki ha'elyon mechavero mitlabesh toch ha'tachton memenu kineshama laguf. Each higher world cloaks within the world beneath it like the soul within a body. And that's exactly the right expression and example. When we refer to levels of consciousness, one is within the other. One is kind of like, to use the symbol, the soul of the other. And that is how we have to understand the nature of one world to the next, one level to the next. So if you want to penetrate from Asiya to Yetzira, from Yetzira to Beria, it's an internal path, like the Baal Shem Tov taught. And that's why we teach that system here at Kosher Torah. Omnam, in kol klalot ha'elyon mitlabesh betachton. Know this. It's not like the entire higher level is included within the lower level. Rak bechinat pratit tachton shebe'elyon mitlabesh betoch tachton. It is only the lowest aspect of the higher domain which cloaks within the entire lower domain. So for example, if we have a world, and the world is 100% of what it is, and there is a higher world above it, you don't have 100% of that higher world cloaked within 100% of the world below it, no. But rather, what you do have is only 10%, for example, of that higher world cloaked within the 100% of the lower world. Now, this actually takes on very relevant and important application. When we want to talk about the soul, you know what your soul is? It's you. According to our understanding of the soul, only the smallest part of our soul is actually in the body, animating consciousness. Only, if you will, like 1/10 of the soul is in the body, animating consciousness. Well, where is the other 9/10 of me, my soul? It's in the other domains of consciousness, or higher worlds, depending on your forms of metaphor. And when we access these other realms of consciousness through meditation, we are accessing the other realms. And that is how come, or I should say how, we are able to travel outside of the body through realms of consciousness which are not bound by our physical mortal coil here on earth. And for those who know the secret of these ascents, or properly to refer descent, you go into other domains, come in contact with other realities, and depending on your levels of clarities, you bring back experiences of those realities to our physical world. This is the realm of meditation, the issue of Ruach HaKodesh, and of course prophecy. But let's go on. V'ken al derech zeh ad siyum ha'olamot. This pattern of the overlapping of the entire lower world, only including a part of the higher world, that's how it is with all the other worlds. Ba'ofan shekol ha'olamot hen kulan klalot hen kol b'chinot mehem. Each and every world therefore includes within it all the other aspects and all the other elements. Afilu olam ha'shefel, even this physical world of ours, b'kol prat mehem, within each and every detail. Hakol hu b'derech zeh, everything follows this pattern. So everything overlaps and interconnects in that respect. Ki zeh elyon mezeh v'zeh penimi mezeh. One's above the other, and at the same time one's within the other. Ad shekulam, until we get to the point where we could say, hen ke'inyan levushin zeh lezeh. It's like one is a garment for and cloaks the other. V'kulan levushin. Everything, therefore, is like a garment. All right? Garment for what? Garments of the Ein Sof itself, which is the neshama of all the neshamots. It's the soul within the soul. Remember, Yudke Vavke is the universal mind. But think about us. Do you have a mind? I certainly hope so. It's what you are using to think about and learn in this class. But what's inside your mind? Your unconscious. Well, if Yudke Vavke is the consciousness of the universe, and it is the cloak or the garment to the essence, which is the Ein Sof, maybe we could refer to the Ein Sof as God's unconscious? Question mark. The metaphorical application seems to fit. But can I actually and truly say that about God and the Ein Sof? No! No, I can't! And neither can you. Why? Because we can't say anything about the Ein Sof. Remember what Rabbi Chaim said? There's no thinking about it because thinking doesn't apply. If anybody knows anything about true issues of consciousness, when you go into the realms of the unconscious, well, what could you say? What can you know? There is nothing really to know about the unconscious. You can bring things out of it, but you can't go into it and, you know, look around. So, understand it within this context. So, moving here, let's conclude. Omnam b'kol olam elo achamisha, within all of the different worlds, yesh hevdel, there is a difference, behit pashtut ha'orot ad heichan megi'in. The difference is to how far light emanates into each and every world. And that is how a world is defined, or a level of consciousness is defined or distinguished from one another, if you will, by the level of light each one has, or the level of consciousness and awareness each one is able to receive. The ken yesh hefresh acher, and there's also a difference, another difference, bipratea arba yesodot, within the aspect of the element of the four foundations of each and every world. The ken bipratea hapratim, even in the details of the details, ve'ein ze makom bi'or inyan ze. But right now is not the time to discuss it. Okay, let's stop right here for right now, and be'ezrat Hashem, God be willing, we'll pick up in our next class when we get together, and we're just going to continue. We're going to go through chapters 19, 20, 20, however far we can go in the times that we have allotted to us. So please, for those of you who are my registered students, again, I thank you all for your support. You will receive copies of this class. It's the least I can do for your support. For those of you who are not our registered students, I will make this class available. I think it's important and foundation for everybody to have access to it. And future classes, we will make them available, hopefully within the context of a donation that I pray that you would be gracious and generous enough to provide for Kosher Torah to help maintain and keep these classes open and free for everybody. Let me again thank you all for joining me tonight. Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll see you all in our next class. Laila Tov, good night, God bless. Shalom.